One time I was going to go to a church without my family, and for fifth wheel was broke down, and the pastor said, if you don't bring your family, don't bother coming. And I was like kind of laughing, like you, and he was serious. So I said, I'll bring my family if you get us a hotel. Anyway, I thank God for my family. You know, they're a real blessing. You know, I think I'll keep them. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I'm glad for another night. And Lord, we need you. We know your presence is here. And I pray that I would not get in the way of what you would do tonight, Lord. And pray that you could go all the glory and honor for what's said and done. And Lord, you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that I would not grieve or quench or resist the Spirit in my own heart, God. And that I have complete liberty. And I pray that none of your people here tonight would do the same. Lord, I know that what's said from this pulpit, I had to give an account. And I pray, God, you help me to practice the things I say. And I do pray, God, that tonight, Lord, this message would bring forth fruit for your glory and honor to be a real help. And Lord, you know the heart of the people. I don't. So, Lord, I pray that you would do something. And we need your presence once again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24 is, the Lord showed me some things. Like I was saying, I have been diagnosed with 3 autoimmune diseases, and the recent one is with arthritis in the feet. So if you see me sitting down in the back, it's not because I'm lazy. I'm trying to reserve my feet and give them a rest because it kills me when I stand for a long time. So the Lord allows some things to happen in your life, you know, for various reasons. And I feel like the Lord would have me kind of encourage you tonight. I think yesterday was pretty hard, and I'm glad that some of you even came back. Amen. But I mean, really, and I think yesterday was hard. Preach on the home, preach on hell, and hell on the home. And I had to come up with another H tonight. That would have been great. But anyway, sometimes some people have hell in the home. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 24, something the Lord showed me, and I hope it's a real blessing to you. There's some things about David here. And as you're going to read here, God gives David some choices. As a matter of fact, God gave David 3 specific choices to choose from. And I got thinking about that. You know, we all have choices that we had to make in life. And some choices are very easy to make and some are very hard to make. And I want you to read this as if you were in the content. I mean, just think about if you were in David's situation. And I just want to say this real quickly. I know that there is a prosperity gospel that's preached. When I was in Africa, it was very big that if you live for God, nothing will go wrong. Well, they must have never read about Paul. I mean, being shipwrecked, beaten 49 times, and I mean, being robbed and put in prison and being in hungerings often, and then fastings, that's a different thing there, and nakedness and peril. And I really think that he wasn't prosperous, was he? So I said all that to say, I say it with sarcasm, relax, amen. But I look at these things and I think to myself, when I read the Bible, I see a lot of sorrow. I see a lot of heartbreak. I see a lot of ruined lives because of sin. And then I see, I was talking to a pastor today, let me give you an example. His wife just survived breast cancer. I mean, he loves God. You know, I preach for him every year. And now they found spots on his wife's lungs, you know. The guy's brokenhearted. Now his treasurer has cancer. She's only got a few months to live. Another lady in the church died of cancer. Piano player moved away. And I'm not being rude, and I'm hearing all this stuff, and I'm like, and I said, you know, brother, and I was trying to encourage him. I said, you know, our life can be messed up, right? Would you agree? And we can go through a lot of things. But I said, you always got to cheer yourself up with this. Our situations have never been as bad as Job. And he goes, you know what? You're right. And I'm just saying that to lay a foundation tonight to get into this. Now, I know that David was given 3 specific choices because of sin. But let's say God gave you 3 specific things to choose from that wasn't a result of sin. Let's just say that happened. Now let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. You'll understand where I'm going at with this. Verse 10. And David's heart smote him at the day and numbered the people. And what happened was he numbered the children of Israel because of pride. And I know it says God moved Satan, Satan moved God, Satan moved David. David made this choice. And what happened was, I mean, these Bible critics that go nuts all over it, was it Satan or God? And God used the devil to tempt David. And David, because of pride, numbered the children of Israel and put his faith and strength and confidence in a number of the people instead of putting his faith in God. And also that he forgot to make a ransom. When you number the children of Israel, you're supposed to make a ransom according to Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. I understand all that. But God smote his heart. And then notice what he said. David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So I want to preach to you a message titled tonight, Go Ahead and Choose. Go ahead and choose. First of all, I believe that the choice was yours to make tonight. And it wasn't a result of some sin, okay? That if you had a choice to make tonight, I believe, number one, it'd be difficult to make. It'd be very difficult to make. Now, as I said, David was given three choices, as we just read. One of them was a famine. And that famine would not just affect him, it would also affect his family. Not only that, he was given an option to pick pestilence. That's a scourge that goes through the land, like beyond a famine, like a disease, like a bubonic plague. He was given another option, and that was to run from his enemies for 3 months, and David already knew what that was like, having run from a crazy demon-possessed king like Saul. And I got thinking about that. The choices that were given to David were all very serious. It was A, B, C. And if I was there, I would have said D, none of the above. Amen? To be honest, none of the choices sounded good at all. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't want to choose any. And I understand this affliction came, like I said, because of David's sin in his own life. But let's just say the affliction came in his life because it wasn't of some sin. Let's say the affliction that came into your life this year was not something as a result of you doing wrong, but you were doing right. Let's take your life into consideration. How has it been the past couple of years? I mean, you may wonder tonight why this affliction has come up. And you may feel that this cross or this affliction that God's allowed in your life to happen is too much for you to bear. Now let's say tonight you were given three choices, whatever they may be. And let's say you knew ahead of time the severity of each choice. I'll be honest with you, I was one of those dumb Christians. When I was newly saved, I literally thought that all my problems were gone. Now some of you believe that. I mean, I thought, man, I'm sick. Hey, as far as my eternal destiny, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, I am washed with the precious blood of Christ. I have a home reserved for me in glory. I got a mansion, man, beyond all comprehension. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm coming back with Jesus one day on the right side. But let me tell you something right now. In this present life, it ain't easy. Now let me ask you tonight. Which affliction do you think you would choose for your life? Which affliction do you think you would joyfully endure? Which affliction do you think you would joyfully enlist and embrace? I mean, I think that if I had a choice to make to choose my own affliction, that I'd make a huge mistake. You know why? I have made dumb decisions. Has anybody ever made a dumb decision here tonight? I mean, have you made decisions in life that you have later on regretted? I mean, what choice of affliction do you think would be better than the choice of affliction God had in mind? Now, when I say that, that sounds like a totally different light, right? It's being shed on it, right? I mean, do you think you could really choose the affliction better than God could choose for you? I mean, let me ask you tonight, would you choose sickness? And which sickness would you prefer? Would you choose cancer? Would you choose chemotherapy for years and years and years and years? Would you choose the loss of vision? How about just one eye? Not both, one eye. Would you choose that? How many of you have ever been blessed by Fanny Crosby? You know, Fanny Crosby, when she was 6 weeks old, she caught a cold and an inflammation of the eyes. And mustard poultices were used to treat the discharges of her eye, and it damaged her optic nerve. She was blind. But some of you have been so blessed by face to face with Christ my Savior. They said one time to Fanny Crosby, a lady said to her, she said, "You know, I feel so sorry for you. You've never seen the sun. You've never seen a flower. You've never seen birds. You've never seen this and that." And she goes, "You feel so sorry for me?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I don't feel sorry," because she goes, "The first thing I'm ever going to see is Jesus Christ." That's victory, folks. Would you choose the loss of a limb? And if you would, which one? Right hand, left hand? Foot, leg, which one? Would you choose the loss of sleep? I know a guy who was a missionary for years in South America, and now he's in Virginia. And he had an infected tooth, and they did a root canal, and infection got in there, and so forth like that. And make a long story short, went to a certain part of his brain that affects his sleep, and he only gets 1.5 hours of sleep every 3 days. You know how many sleeping pills he takes to get an hour and a half? 12 at a time. God said, "You're going to die." He said, "If I don't sleep, I'm going to die." So what's it like? He said, "Man, after a few days, I start hallucinating." But he's living for God and started a Spanish-speaking ministry in the U.S. And I wouldn't pick that, would you? Well, I had a bad night of sleep like that. I mean, would you choose an accident? What accident would you choose? Would you choose an accident that would disfigure your face for life? "Well, I got a pimple, I got a blemish, I got crow's feet." How about having your face so scarred that would look horrific? People have. They've gone through it. Would you choose the loss of speech? Would you like that, to never be able to speak again? How about would you choose the loss of hearing? Or would you choose a neurological disease? Which one would you want? Would you want Lou Gehrig's? Would you want Parkinson's? Would you want multiple sclerosis? Would you choose to be confined to a bed or a wheelchair? Which one? All your life. How many of you ever heard of Amy Carmichael? Amy Carmichael, right? Good woman, right? 55 years faithful servant to be a missionary. You know, the last 20 years of her life she spent confined to a bed where she wrote many of her books, which have been a blessing to many sisters in Christ because of a bad fall. 20 years confined to a bed. Could you imagine that? What sickness would you prefer tonight, I'm asking you, if you had a choice to make? Would you prefer financial struggles? Would you prefer losing a business? Would you prefer being in a financial hole that you can never get out of? Would you prefer having the debtors call you and people harass you and threaten you and take you to court? Would you choose foreclosure of a home, or would you choose your home to be burned down? What would you choose? Would you choose to live on welfare? Would you choose to have government housing? Would you choose to live in a third world country where you really felt hunger? Would you choose to never have enough food in the cupboard or the refrigerator so that you can hear your kids cry every night to sleep that they're hungry? How would you like to hear that every night? 1 in 5 children in America go to bed hungry. Would you choose to be stripped of a loved one suddenly? Let's say you had 3 kids. You had 3 choices. Which one would you choose? I'm just asking tonight. See, I'm not going to lie to you. This is a serious message, folks. I understand that. But would you choose? Which one would you choose to be stripped of? Let's say a child of tender age. You read about Adoniram Judson. Oh, Adoniram Judson, great missionary, great man of God. No doubt, man, missionary to Burma, man, God's hand was upon him. God used him in a mighty way. Did you know that he lost his second child at the age of 8 months old? Do you know his third child died also on the mission field? Oh, you want to be a missionary, right? You willing to pay the price? How about a spouse? How about being married to someone for over 20 years happily? 30 years, 40 years, and suddenly God just takes them. I mean, I'm sure reality sets in when that casket goes into the grave. I mean, you know you're going to see them again, right? If they're saved. And then that night, they're not there. I mean, man, I love my wife. I thank God for my wife. But I know that God can take her any moment. That's a scary thought, folks. I mean, I need my wife, okay? I don't need anybody else. I need my wife. And no offense, folks, amen. But I mean, man, I thank God for a good wife. But God takes people's spouses. Would you choose an unwanted divorce? Sick and tired of these Pharisees. Well, if you're divorced, God's done with you. Well, What do you do when the spouse doesn't love you? What do you do when the spouse leaves you? What do you do when the spouse is abusing you? And I mean, you can't make people stay with you. If they want to leave, they're gone. And I don't care how much you bend over backwards, they're gone. Would you choose an unwanted divorce? Hey, would you choose being thrown into prison? Falsely accused, unjustly accused. Like Joseph. You remember reading about him? Genesis, right? Oh, yeah. Joseph, man. Look at the power. Yeah, but do you forget he went from the pit? Amen? To the palace, then to prison, then the power. It was later on. See, we look at Joseph later on and go, oh, it all worked out together for good. But it says his feet were hurt with fetters of iron when he was down there for over 10 years in prison. Would you be one of those guys that come by and say, cheer up, Joseph, something wonderful is going to happen to you today? Really? In the early morning hours of July 23rd, 1948, in the capital city of Sofia, Harlan Popov was arrested on false charges of espionage against the state. After being brainwashed and tortured for 8 months, he and some other men signed a paper stating that they were guilty of treason. And he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. And he spent the next 13 years and 2 months in prison, tortured in concentration camps. Harlan Popov, you got to read that book. It's really, really good. Would you choose a life of suffering and slanderously being spoken of and reported of, in evil spoken of like John Bunyan? How many of you ever got a blessing from Pilgrim's Progress? I got news for you. There's another book that's just as equally good and people don't even know about it called Holy War. You got to read Holy War. He wrote another book. Did you know that it was said that as his popularity grew, he became an increasing target for slander? You know, they said of him that he was a witch. They accused him of being a Jesuit. They accused him of being a highwayman, a robber, and would say that mistresses and multiple wives. How would you like to be John Bunyan where you spent about 12 years in prison because you wouldn't take a permit to preach the gospel? How would you like if your blind daughter came to you begging your dad, will you just come home? How would you like that? I mean, would you choose the afflictions that Richard Wurmbrand went? I know the guy wasn't straight doctrinally. Voice of the Martyrs. I understand all that, but man, he loved God. That guy spent 3 years in solitary confinement. Get a hold of that. 3 years. He said that he never knew when the officers or the guards were coming, the prison guards were coming, because they would put felt on the soles of their shoes so you couldn't hear when they were coming. One time he said his body bore the scars of physical torture. He said, I'll bear it for the rest of my life. And one time he said he had the soles of his feet beaten. Until the flesh of the soles of his feet was torn off. Then the next day they took him again and beat him again. Would you choose that? How about would you choose a bad upbringing? Choose a bad upbringing. Would you choose being raised in an abusive environment, whether it's a sexually abused environment or a verbally abused environment? Or would you choose being raised in an environment of drugs? Would you choose being raised in a bar from a young age? I mean, would you choose being raised without a mother or without a father? Which one? Would you choose being raised in an orphanage? Would you choose living in a home where you were told you were never wanted and learn how to curse at the age of 5 years old from your own mother? Ever hear of Nicky Cruz? He grew up in one of the worst neighborhoods in Puerto Rico. His own mother called him the son of Satan. And his parents practiced witchcraft and his parents mentally abused him. How would you like to be in an environment like that? I'm asking you tonight, would you really want to choose your affliction? And what affliction do you think would be easy to endure, to enlist, to embrace? I mean, what affliction would you want to take wholeheartedly, with a good attitude? I mean, would the affliction that you chose, would it be better than the one you already have, or worse? I mean, is there any affliction that's really easy to live with? It's affliction. That doesn't sound comfortable. I mean, is there any affliction that's very easy to experience and be pleased with at first? I mean, I would dare to say that all of you would agree with me that any affliction would be difficult to choose. You know why? We are creatures of comfort. We like comfort. We like AC. We like sweet tea. We like all these things that we get in America. We don't want to be afflicted. We don't want to go through a problem. I mean, we think the end of the world when we have a flat tire. Don't be an evangelist. Don't be a missionary. Don't go on deputation because you're going to have more than that. We all don't want our way of life to be disturbed for the worse. So once again, I'm asking you tonight, which affliction would you choose if you were in David's position? Number two. Second thing I want to say tonight, I must add that if we had a choice to make, not only would it be difficult, but I believe it would be more devastating than the one we're already facing. It would be already more devastating than the one we're already facing. Say, why? How so? Because when I look around at others, folks, I really realize I have it better. There are people that have it way worse than I do. Would you agree? There's people that have it way worse than you. I mean, I've not had to bury a child. Some of you had. I've never had to bury a spouse. Some of you had. I've never had to go through chemo treatments. I never had to live on the streets. I never had to eat garbage out of a garbage can. I mean, listen, I mean, really, in reality, folks, would it really be easier to bear another sister or brother's affliction than the one you're already facing? I mean, I've had people tell me, well, I would never want to go through what you've gone through. And I think in my own heart and mind, I wouldn't want to go through what you've gone through. I mean, to be honest, it could be a lot worse. Would you agree? You know what I've learned? We have a Savior. Did you know he was a carpenter? You know, people want to go to custom-built homes, right? They want it built this way. Or they want custom-made cabinets, right? Am I right or wrong? Did you know that our carpenter, Jesus Christ, has a cross specifically designed for only you? He doesn't make it too long, too short. He doesn't make it too heavy, too light. It's customized for your back. It's fitted for your back. And the Bible says you're to take up your cross daily. It ain't easy, is it? Here's what you pray. God, use me. Many of you pray that. God, use me, right? But you know, in order for God to get the glory, it's nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. All the way to the cross. Did you know when you're nailed to a cross, you know there's one thing you cannot do? You can't look back. You want to be used for God? Okay. I got news for you. Then take up your cross. Take your affliction. And say, Lord, listen, I besought the Lord not 3 times, 300 times. I'm serious. I said, Lord, you got to take this pain away. You got to take it away. I mean, you got to. I can't handle it. And the Lord says, I ain't. And then one day it just dawned on me. 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for thee. I memorized it. Know it. And I just said, okay, I'm going to put you to the test. And his grace is sufficient. It's more sufficient than pain meds in the long run. Because they only last a certain time. His grace really is sufficient, folks. I'm just asking tonight, do you believe it would be easy to make the decision? I believe it would be difficult. I believe it would be more devastating than the one you're already made and already facing. Number three, and I'm done. Third thing I would like to say tonight, I believe if you had a choice to make, it would defeat its purpose for your life. It would defeat its purpose for your life. Folks, I got news for you. Romans 8:28 is true for every race, gender, and age. All right, let me ask you a question. Many of you know it, right? Many of you know, right? Now watch. We know that all things, get a hold of that. All is very broad. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You love God? How many of you love Jesus tonight? I mean, you really love him, right? All right, come on, you love him, right? You're here tonight. You could have been home doing what you want to do. You love him, right? Now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, you really believe that? All right, then God has a purpose, right? People say, well, God allows things, it's a purpose. So everything, there's a purpose. It says it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a reason for everything. There's a purpose for everything. God has a plan in it. I mean, if it's the Lord's will for you to bear pain daily, you're going to do it? I don't like it. It hurts. Have you ever been up 2:30 in the morning? Yes. Have you ever had a migraine? Had 3 weeks straight migraine. Called an optic migraine. See, it's one of the most painful you could have. 3 weeks and still preaching. Is it easy? Nope. But what if God says, deal with it, live with it, take it, embrace it, hold on to it, take it with a good attitude? George Frederick Handel, great musician, right? You know what happened? He lost his health. His right side was paralyzed. His money was gone. His creditors ceased and threatened to imprison him. And he was so disheartened by his tragic experience that he almost despaired for a brief time. But his faith prevailed during this horrible time that he was facing, and he composed his great work, the Hallelujah Chorus. Have you ever got a blessing from that? I mean, here he was, his health was failing, bodily pain, going through these horrible things, financial ruin, and yet he still said, you know what? There's a purpose. And I'm going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's high ground, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to praise God when you're up on the mountain, as we sing that song, but what about when you're in the valley? I mean, if it's the Lord's will for you to struggle financially as a single mother or a single father and go through hardships and deal with financial difficulties the rest of your life, can you handle it with a good attitude? I mean, listen, it's God's lot sometimes that falls into our lap. His hap falls into our lap. If it's the Lord's will for you to lose a loved one, it's for a purpose. God knows what's best for you even when you don't. And he can choose your affliction better for you than you can. And David knew all this. And that's why he trusted the Lord through it all. So how do you know that? I deliberately didn't read the next verse. Because look at verse 14. This is a great verse. I like this. Watch this. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in a serious dilemma here. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. You know what he said? God is still merciful. God is merciful in afflictions. And it'd be good for all of us to learn like David did. It is truly good to fall into the hands of God if we're saved. Because we're in his hand, right? We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Spurgeon said this, the Lord's mercy often rides to the door of our heart upon the black horse of affliction. It's truly better to fall into the hand of the Lord than to choose our own afflictions. Charles Spurgeon said again, when the Lord chooses the cup and holds it to us, we drink it down in peace. We feel no responsibility about it, but we enjoy a solid confidence that he who appointed the sorrow will cause it to work for our good. There was a Roman method years ago of threshing grain. And one man would stir up the sheaves, another man would ride over it in a crude cart with rollers in it. Instead of wheels, sometimes they would use flat boards. And sharp stones of bitter iron were attached to the cylinders to get them to separate the husk from the grain. And what they did, the cart was called a tribulum, which is where we get our root word for tribulation. And one guy said, when afflictions come to us, we may think of ourselves as being torn into pieces under cruel pressures of adverse circumstances. Yet the purpose of the tribulum was not to tear up the sheaves, but to expose the grain. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. We are never put under the pressures of a trial, folks, needlessly. God always has a purpose. And when you think of your afflictions, well, you don't know what I've been going through all these years. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Really, a moment? Well, the Lord says, 1,000 years to us is like one day to him. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For I reckon, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Old Matthew Henry said, the tried Christian shall be a crowned one. How many of you really want to rule and reign with Christ? How many of you really want to rule and reign? Nobody's really raising hands. Because you're scared to death. I understand. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, I want to reign with Jesus. And I hope one day God will give me St. Paul to reign over. I don't know. Maybe you're like that. But I got news for you. I want to reign with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be hanging my head in the millennium. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't want to lose my rewards. Because I didn't want to suffer for him. I'm going to ask you tonight, will you learn to lean on the Lord through it all? Will you learn to glorify the Lord through this affliction you're going through? And I got news for you. The doctor may say there's no cure. I talked to a saved born-again Baptist doctor. I went to him. He goes, you know what? And he says, I can give you medication. He says, you can take it. He said, but I got news for you. It's going to destroy your liver. He says, you can either take it, destroy your liver, or live with pain. I decided to live with pain. You know what? One day I'm going to be given a new body. I'll close with this, folks. Let me ask you tonight. What would you choose? If the Lord said, go ahead and choose tonight, I'm going to ask you, what would you choose? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? No one looking around. Try to be mindful of the time. I didn't feel rushed, but I don't want to keep you too long. It's only about 8:03 tonight. Just preach to you about, I think, what, 30 minutes, something like that. I'm trying to be healthy tonight. That's all. Tonight I really feel that God really wanted me to, really preach this. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. Pastor didn't say, this person's going through this, and this person's going through that, and this person's going through that. Maybe tonight you're a single mother, and you're saying, why did my husband leave me? Maybe tonight you're coming from a broken home, and you're like, you know what? I haven't seen my dad in a long time. Well, I never met my dad. Left my mom when she was 6 months pregnant. Don't even know what he looks like. Maybe tonight you got a cancer you're facing, or maybe a loved one you know is dying. Or maybe tonight you got marital trouble that you didn't ask for. Or maybe tonight you got financial trouble. Or maybe, folks, I believe that many of you should be responding, because I know God presses upon my heart. Folks, tonight, listen, if the choice was yours to make, it would be difficult to make. You cannot make a good decision without Jesus Christ guiding it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen to this. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Folks, we don't know our left hand from our right hand sometimes. So how in the world could we choose better than God could choose? Tonight, if you had a choice, I think it would be more devastating than the one you're already facing. And I believe tonight, if you would choose your affliction, it would defeat its purpose for your life. Some of you just need to say, Lord, I'll take the pain. I'll take the poverty. I'll take the rejection. Or whatever it is that God has in store for you. And say, Lord, you know what's best. Instead of griping and complaining and grumbling and being upset, being frustrated, trying to look for some cure or look for some remedy or look for this and that. Say, okay, God, maybe this is your will. And if it is, give me the grace. Help me to endure it. I mean, what affliction tonight do you think would be better than the one you already have? I mean, you've got to leave everything tonight. Leave everything in the Lord's hands. Because He really knows what's best. Let me ask you tonight. No one looking around. Let me ask you tonight. How many of you tonight would say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray for me. Honestly, I'll pray for you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Hands. Okay. Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. Your hand. Another hand. Now look, folks. I got news for you. Counselors can't help you like Christ. And there's a time where the meds don't work. And there's a time where, man, I mean, you can cry your eyes out and you have no more tears left. But I got news for you. He's called the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And there's been times I've been so discouraged. There's been times I have been so depressed. Not self-pity. I mean so depressed. I mean so sad. And I can't get out of the pit. And you know what? The Lord shows up. And the Lord helps me. I got news for you tonight, folks. The Lord's with you. Say, preacher, I don't feel that He's with me. He is. Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And tonight, if God has spoke to you, as the pastor comes, I hope and pray, you get a hold of God tonight. Say, Lord, I'll take it. And you know what, folks? There are people that endure. There's a difference between enduring the affliction and embracing the affliction. Did you know that? Some people, I'll put up with it. I'll do whatever I got to do to make it. Why can't we embrace it? Say, okay, Lord, this is a thing in my life that's going to help put a death to a pride or a death to something in my life that's going to bring more glory to You. Which one would you choose? Go ahead and choose tonight. If God has spoke to you, as your pastor comes. And one last thing I want to ask you tonight real quickly. Tonight, maybe you've never been saved. I got news for you. The worst affliction you've ever been through in this life is nothing compared to eternity in hell. It's the only place I will ever experience a hell on earth. Because I'm saved. This is all the hell I'll ever experience. And I'm glad I'm never going to hell, folks. I'm glad I'm saved and washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm a child of God. Let me ask you tonight, no one looking around. Would you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I don't know for a fact if I die today, I would go to heaven. Anybody at all, would you raise your hand? Say, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody else, would you raise your hand? Let me ask you tonight, Would you like to be saved? Would you like to get your sins forgiven? Would you like to become a child of God? See, you know what people say? Well, what do I got to give up? Your pride. You got to humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm no good. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Turn from yourself. You know why a person goes to hell? They won't humble themselves. They won't acknowledge they need a Savior. They won't acknowledge that they're a sinner that deserves to go to hell. Let me ask you tonight, if you're not 100% sure you're saved, I'm going to ask you tonight, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? You got nothing to lose when you receive Jesus Christ but sin. That's good. But to lose your own soul for sin is not worth it. So take the sin you enjoy tonight and understand that you can never enjoy it 5 minutes in hell because it won't be there. Tonight, let me ask you, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to turn to Christ? Are you willing to believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures on the third day? Are you willing by faith to humbly kneel at the cross and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? Would you be willing to do that tonight? I'm not going to drag it on. Honestly, just give me another minute and I'm done. Tonight, let me ask you, if you are not sure you're saved, would you come now? Would you come now? I'll meet you at the altar. Maybe you're a man. Maybe you're a young lady. My wife can show you, or the pastor's wife. I'm asking you tonight, right now, in front of everybody. Jesus Christ died naked in front of everybody for you. There's no reason to be ashamed of Him. The Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You got that? You got no reason to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You got plenty of reasons to be ashamed of yourself and your sin. So I'm going to do this tonight real quickly, about 30 more seconds. Let me just say this. I'm going to go to the altar. And if you'd like to be saved tonight, and you want to be born again and washed in the blood of Christ, become a child of God and have your sins forgiven and on your way to heaven, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you at the altar. How about that? I'll tell you who also meet you at the altar, Jesus Christ. Would you do that tonight? God spoke to you. Preacher.
All right, let's look this way. Number 390, let's stand and sing. If you've never trusted Christ, you're saved. If you raised your hand tonight, I didn't see who you were, but I understand there were a couple people that did. Why don't you come on down? There's no shame in getting something squared away. I don't care if you're 55 years old or 5 years old, right? Number 390. Why don't you come while we sing? Said, I've never been saved. I have doubts. Why don't you come get it straight? If you don't want to pray with Brother Del Grande, you got other friends in this room, right? If you're a young lady, my wife, Mrs. Grissom, Mrs. Darling, somebody will help you. Brother Darling, Brother Grissom, me, in fact, any one of these men. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? On the last. Hey. came to church tonight. Amen. Good. Well, it's Monday night. We're going to do it again Tuesday night. How about that? We'll do it again Wednesday night. How about that? So, again, tomorrow night, if you have a chance to break free and get here, you know, 6:30-ish, I'll, Lord willing, be here. And we'll, some of us, pray together like we did tonight. We look forward to what else the Lord has for us. Amen. But appreciate it. Now, if you've wondered why the Lord dealt you the cards that he dealt you, I hate to bring that picture to mind, I guess, a little bit, but there's a reason for it, right? Look, I learned with my stroke something. I learned that still I'd rather have my problem than some of yours. Because God gives me grace for mine. He probably wouldn't give me grace for yours. If we just traded, I'll take mine every time. I get sick of it, I get tired of it, right? But it's still mine. And I still get grace to deal with it. It's the same thing with you. Do you think the, not Calvinist, but sovereign God knew what he was doing when he gave you your burden? He knew what he was doing. It's engineered for you, okay? He just said tonight in so many words, you couldn't engineer your own. You're just going to wreck your life. But God engineers yours for you, right? Let's bow our heads and pray. And Father, we graciously thank you tonight for all the things you've done for us and we've heard. Father, we're aware there are folks around us that suffer mightier afflictions than we do. They are in pain. They have issues that we know nothing about. And Father, at the same time, if we all search deep enough, we know, Father, that there are wrestlings that we have in our own hearts and minds, and perhaps our own flesh, that other folks don't. Lord, we have to trust the God of all wisdom and might that he has distributed to each man as he would. And Father, we know that you have. I pray you'd help us to be able to fall on our knees and gratefully acknowledge the God that gave us our problems and our makeup, our character. Help us to do what we're supposed to do on our end of the bargain. Father, we're grateful for a Savior that covers our failures in his blood and our sins against thee in his blood. We pray you'll get us back tomorrow night. Please give folks a good day tomorrow. Please grant safety. Think about folks that are sick, even some folks that are dying, and we pray you'd be with them and give them grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good night, folks. We'll see you tomorrow night.